produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again and to have this opportunity to share some wonderful thoughts with you on this occasion. As we are approaching the July 4th holiday, it is very significant as we think about why we celebrate the 4th of July. Now, in reality, what we celebrate is our Day of Independence. We refer to it as the 4th of July, but it's interesting that we forget that the real purpose of that holiday is to remember and to celebrate our independence as a nation. You know, as we have looked at the events over the last several months with the COVID-19, we've seen significant abridgment of some of our First Amendment rights, freedom of assembly, the freedom of worship, many things that we've kind of taken for granted for many dozens or, you know, centuries, if you will, over 200 years now. And yet we voluntarily have given up some of those freedoms in an abundance of caution to avoid the COVID-19 infection. And so in many jurisdictions, the restrictions have been reasonable. In other states and other jurisdictions, they have been a bit unreasonable. You know, it makes no sense to be able to go to a big box store to buy things such as groceries and then have a governor say that you can't go across the aisle to buy seed, plant a garden with, or to buy other items such as clothing. But you can buy the groceries in the same store with the same people present, but you can't buy these other items. Or what about the church down in Mississippi that the congregants were in their cars listening to a radio channel parked on the parking lot of the church, hearing their preacher give his sermon, and the police came and issued a $500 ticket, not just to the driver, but a $500 ticket to every occupant in the car. Meanwhile, just down the street, there was a drive-in, drive-up restaurant where you went to a lane, parked in a parking spot, and through a speaker system, ordered your food and had it delivered. How is that okay, but having people in a car listening on their radio to a church service, not okay? So we've seen a lot of crazy stuff over the last few months. And needless to say, as we think about independence and we think about religious liberty and freedom and our freedoms in general, we've seen an amazing thing happen over the last several weeks as a consequence of the tragic and horrible events involving George Floyd and the abuse that he suffered at the hands of a very reckless and a very abusive police officer, who I might add had some 19 previous complaints against him. Why he was still on the police force, who knows? But justice was swift, and he was indicted and arrested along with the other three officers. Now, we recognize that the right to protest, the right to assemble, is one of our guarantees under the Constitution. But isn't it interesting that with all of the restrictions because of COVID, that social distancing went out the window very quickly when it came to the massive number of protests that occurred as a consequence of the events with George Floyd? Beyond that, though, we've seen a very disturbing trend. That was kind of the nucleus, and we definitely understand and sustain and support those who legitimately have reason to protest the abuse of power. But there were forces at work during that were based on a philosophy of anarchy. And as a consequence, there were elements in many of the protests that caused great harm to the local communities. with setting on fire of buildings, the destruction of property, taking over police stations, destroying police vehicles, burning down businesses. Many of those businesses owned by members of the minority community wherein these businesses were located. And then a third element beyond the anarchist, those who saw an opportunity to be totally criminal in their activity, not having any intent to honor the name of George Floyd, but to go out and to loot and to rob and to vandalize. So as we've witnessed this, we've now entered into a new phase. And it's an interesting phenomenon as we see all throughout the land the tearing down of statues of significant individuals in the history of our nation. Now, a good case can be made for the removal, perhaps, of Confederate war monuments. Memphis, Tennessee went through this process a year or so ago through the city council and the mayor and through a legislative process where those statues from several parks in the city of Memphis, they were honoring Confederate war dead, were removed, and ultimately those statues would be placed in some sort of a museum. That's the right way to do it. But what we have seen is a wanton disregard for law and order, for civil discourse, as riotous crowds have come and literally torn down statues, some representing what they feel is a past in our history, dealing with slavery and the Civil War, and feeling justified in doing that destructive act of tearing down those monuments. That was phase one, but now we see another aspect to this, and that is the tearing down of virtually any historic statue, regardless of any racial background involved in that particular person. We've seen in several cities the destruction of statues of abolitionists, of individuals who fought in the Civil War for the North to help end slavery. Why would those statues be torn down? What was the grievous sin that those individuals committed? It has become very clear to me that there are forces at work that are literally trying to create chaos and anarchy and to destroy our historic Western civilization ideals. Now, as we come up close to July 4th, we celebrate our independence as a nation from England. So let's talk a little bit about this significant event in the annals of human history. Perhaps we need to go back, though, a few generations. We've seen, as you no doubt have noticed, the destruction of statues of Christopher Columbus. And the pretext, of course, is that because he ushered in the European influx into the New World, that there's great grievance amongst those of the native population. And much can be said about that. But let me add a little perspective about the significance of Christopher Columbus, the good along with the bad. Or, by virtue of Christopher Columbus and his discovery of the New World, a very important process started. Throughout Europe, many were suffering at the hands of governments, of monarchs, and were being persecuted because of their religious persuasion. And over time, many individuals in many different countries, not just England, not just Italy or Spain, but people from throughout all of Europe began to come to the Americas to seek refuge, to seek freedom, to be able to practice their religious beliefs according to their own conscience. And so as a result of what happened, Christopher Columbus helped to open up that door. Now, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving and we think about the Pilgrims and how they, the Native Americans, had that meal together and how the Native American population literally saved the lives of the early pilgrims, helping them with planting of indigenous crops, helping them survive. And yes, over the many decades that followed, centuries, if you will, there was abuse of the Native population by those who went through the westward expansion. As we look back on our history, there are many things that we need to be mindful of, that we should learn from those events. But let me make it very clear. There has been good that came in spite of the bad. For a new nation was conceived, and in that new nation became the opportunity for religious freedom and the liberties and the freedom that has made America the beacon to the world, if you will, that light, that shining light on a hill that has served to provide liberty and freedom to more people, not just in America, but because of armed conflicts and various wars, we have sacrificed our very best to help provide freedom and liberty for people all around the world. So yes, we need to learn from the mistakes of history, but the sins of our fathers and forefathers should not be used to condemn those today. If we were to use that model, there's not a country in the world that would not be free from having to sanitize their leaders, their heroes, their individuals who were formative and significant in helping to form those individual countries. All have had histories that were not perfect, because we are human beings and therefore we are imperfect. There's good and there's bad. We live in a time right now, though, where it's rather peculiar that anything that has any roots to the past, dealing with slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, racial tension, racist attitudes, there's this attitude that it has to be expunged from the history books, and it has to be done away with. And the problem is, if we do that, how many generations down the road will those individuals not know of our history? And as Sir Edmund Burke said, those who do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. You know, I think about what happened in Nazi Germany with the Holocaust and the extermination of over 6 million Jews. Can you believe that here we are 60 years later, and there are people who deny that the Holocaust existed? Fortunately, General Eisenhower, when the liberation of the concentration camps were occurring there in Germany and Poland at the end of the war, made sure that there was film documentation of what had happened and what was the reality of the Nazi Holocaust. So history is important. Now you might say, well, how does this relate to our families? Well, as parents and grandparents, we have a great opportunity to share little tidbits of historical knowledge to help our children and grandchildren gain an understanding of our roots. It's my impression that very little of this gets taught in the public school system. And so that is why we see in the current attitude of destroying and tearing down monuments, you know, why would you tear down the monument of Ulysses S. Grant? He was a Northern general. He fought to vanquish the Confederacy, to end slavery. When he was president of the United States, he sent federal troops to squash the Ku Klux Klan in some of the southern states. How is it possible that you would want to tear down a statue of Ulysses S. Grant? Well, if you're ignorant of history, you just see him in a uniform or as a statue and think, oh, he's part of that generation. He's part of the bad people from way back when. So it's incumbent upon us as a society, as a civilization, to teach the history of our nation to our younger generation. For if we don't do that, we run the risk of all that we hold dear, all of the freedoms that we believe in, and all of the good that has been accomplished by our nation will be destroyed. It has been said that we need to fear less our country being vanquished by a foreign foe and be more mindful that we will self-destruct from an internal foe. So, Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. On July the 2nd, Continental Congress voted for independence. They could say July 2nd is our Independence Day. However, it was on July 4th that they adopted officially the Declaration of Independence as a document, and the history of that is well known. Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, and others were designated to form a committee to draft the Declaration of Independence. There's a great movie and a play that we always enjoy watching around the 4th of July, Independence Day holiday, called 1776. And sure, it's a theatrical production, and it's not necessarily totally historically correct, but there are many messages that are shared in that production, and it is quite clear that the formation of our nation was a very perilous and tricky process, and that we almost did not declare independence. For you see, there was a great divide between the northern states and the southern states over the issue of slavery. And so the compromise was reached and the declaration was established. Similarly, with the establishment of the U.S. Constitution, compromises were reached and the Constitution was adopted. And yes, it's taken amendments since then to undo or to correct the evils of slavery. And of course, Abraham Lincoln with the famous and remarkable Emancipation Proclamation opened the door for the freeing of the slaves. Now, in the history of our nation, we've gone through much since that, during the Reconstruction period, Jim Crow era, and where we are today. Wonderful progress has been made, and yet there's still much to be done to provide for what we believe so strongly out of the Declaration of Independence when we read in the early passages the following. Well, let me start the paragraph before. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, next are the words that we pretty much all know and which are often repeated. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, and I might add women, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. We remember well these famous words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator, not the government, but by their Creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these, not all, but just among these, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My friends, as we approach Independence Day this week, it would be my hope and prayer that we will perhaps take time to sit down and reread the Declaration of Independence, ponder on it, pray about it, to share it with our families, and to focus on the true significance of why we are a nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Has that mantra become universal? To a great extent it has, but we need to make more progress. Now, in the Declaration of Independence, the document lists a number of grievances and redress that had been made by the colonists with Parliament and the Crown. Goes on later in the document to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, referring to King George, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. Now, at the conclusion of the Declaration of Independence, we read the following. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And these final words, so powerful. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. If you ever have had the opportunity to study the history of what happened to so many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, you'll read some tragic stories of where their properties were confiscated, their homes were burned, their families were captured, many were tortured, some died, property seized, signers hunted down and executed. They literally did pledge to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I always chuckle when I remember the words of Ben Franklin as he was signing the Declaration of Independence. And there was a little pause of the others coming up. He said, "Come on now. I don't want to be the only one to be hung by King George, because if we don't do this together, we'll hang individually rather than collectively." So, yes, great sacrifice to form a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are equal. You know, there were many heroes in our founding fathers. I think of a man named Thomas Paine, who used his bully pulpit, if you will, when he wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense, published January the 10th, 1776. A 48-page pamphlet, and in it he presented an argument for freedom from British rule. But you know, he wrote it in such a style that the common man, the common person, could easily understand, because he used biblical quotes, which Protestants understood. And that document played a major part in uniting colonists before the Revolutionary War for freedom from Britain. Ironically, Thomas Paine was born in England, and he was very instrumental through that publication to rally the people. Because he made two main points: independence from England and the creation of a democratic republic. Now, because of its treasonous content, he wrote Common Sense anonymously. But it's an initial publication. It sold over 500,000 copies. And it's interesting to note that he used those funds by donating his royalties from it to George Washington's Continental Army. So he made an interesting comment. He reminded the colonists that America was not a British nation, but a nation composed of many different people of varied influences. He also posed a moral question, asking, if Britain was the true mother country, would a mother burden her children and treat them badly? So, you know, a more practical and less emotional topic was that the distance between the two nations prevented timely correspondence of governing petitions and issues. Of course, the charge was that Britain did not consider the best interest of the colonies that represented it. Being a part of Britain would also involve America in unnecessary wars. This would prevent the colonists from foreign trade. Paine pointed out that the colonists were opposed and persecuted under British, that they were oppressed and persecuted under British rule. So, much history to be considered when we think about Independence Day, the Declaration of Independence, and the nation that was formed. It is my hope and prayer that each of us will be mindful of our history, and that we will not take for granted those who came before us and sacrificed. And yes, many of these individuals were not perfect individuals, but we should not overlook the good they did, the foundation they created, and the opportunity we have to build, to grow, to prosper, and to thrive as a nation and as a people as a result of their sacrifice. It's my hope and prayer that each of us will remember on this Independence Day that we are citizens of a free nation, the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I share this in holy and sacred name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.